This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
I gave my ticket to the man, found my seat, and I held on with both hands. Nothing but amusement, that was my plan. Flung it out to the emptiness, to the billion stars, and every cell rose to greet them in that dark. The earth so simple, so far away, forgotten in the field after the children played. Their games of war, in the name of God, their search for more. How strange it seems, suddenly stranger than my dream, than my dream. Just enough water, just enough light, the impossible chance at making life. From jawless fish and flightless birds to opposable thumbs, what a miracle. Opposable thumbs, what a miracle. Walk in a yellow room on a city street. The noise of the morning, the rush and the heat. Not too sad, not too happy, not missing anything, desireless and free for a moment. Clock radio breaking still with a new death toll. Could this be the place I saw from space? It kind of sounds like hell. Our games of war, blood of the earth leaking out like oil. How strange it seemed, suddenly stranger than my dream, than my dream. Just enough water, just enough light, the impossible chance of making life. From jawless fish and flightless birds to opposable thumbs, what a miracle. Opposable thumbs, what a miracle. But even more amazing, even more amazing, even more amazing.
Hutchinson and Yellow Room from her album Beyond That here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Welcome to the Folk Show.
Thank you. So good to be back.
It's great to have you back. Last time we spoke with you is back in 2011.
Those years flew by.
So tell us a little bit about Yellow Room.
So this song started in this amazing dream I had. I was getting on a roller coaster ride in the dream, And suddenly, instead of a regular ride, I got flung into space. And suddenly, I was just floating there. And you know how dreams are usually changing really rapidly? In that dream, things just paused, and I turned and looked back, and I could see the earth, and it was so simple and so beautiful from out there. And I was struck by the fact that I had not spent enough time considering the miracle of it, that it's, we're all on this little tiny planet in the middle of emptiness, you know? And from out there, it seems like all this time we spend, you know, arguing about whose God is better and who made us. And from out there, that all seems so much less important than love, which seems like the common denominator. It seems at the heart of all the faiths in their pure form, it's love that keeps us together.
The new album is called Beyond That. It's on the Red House record label. Want to tell us a little bit about your concept, if you had a concept for the CD, which includes about 14 tracks, and how it might differ from your last recording?
Yeah, so I spent 3 years between The Living Side and Beyond That, and I think the new record really reflects that it was a very contemplative and peaceful chapter in my life. I really slowed down and gave myself permission to heal on much deeper levels. And that involved a ton of walking in the woods with my dog, Osa, who I lost a year ago, and sitting by my favorite lake and just letting things settle, you know, letting the water get really, really clear again, spending a lot of time in meditation class and studying with my teacher and going to yoga. And all of those things just made for this very meditative, peaceful feel. And the title track, Beyond That, really reflects that feeling of, wow, I've come out the other side of kind of a rough decade. And then these last few years have been so peaceful that I wanted that feel to come through on the new record.
I think it does come through on the new record. It is very peaceful. It is very peaceful. And do you think, you know, changing instruments a little bit might have added to that whole nature of the album?
Absolutely. And I felt like I had reached a new emotional landscape inside myself, and I felt like I needed a new instrument to reflect that. And so I returned to the piano after a long time. I think it was fifth grade when I last played it.
So you relearned it. You had to relearn it.
Luckily, you know, they say the things you learn when you're a kid, they stay in your memory. And that was definitely true. I had a little bit of extra help going back to it. But that was a whole new sonic world playground for me, and really opened up some new voicings and new things to do with my voice that I hadn't thought about, you know, just singing higher. And it's been really fun.
You're using the piano more to write.
Exactly.
And not just to perform, but to write.
And I learned how to record. I spent a lot of time geeking out learning software for Pro Tools. And and that changed the writing process, too, because I could record as I was going along and hear it back right away. And I recorded all the vocals and piano at my house for the new record and sang in my closet and got to sing when I really felt the spirit of the song, which might have been 3 a.m. But there's an intimacy, I think, that came through because of that. I was just singing alone in my closet in the middle of the night. And didn't have to be on for when I was scheduled in the studio.
Sure.
But got to work with my dear producer, Crit Harmon, who's done 4 records with me.
You get to remember the lyrics and remember those melodies if you've got something that you can document them with quickly.
Exactly.
Would you like to play another one for us, Meg?
I'd love to.
Meg Hutchinson is in our studio on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
This is a song called When the Lights Went Down, and a song to one of my musical heroes, but also I think a song to part of myself in the past that made the decision to take a certain path and care for myself instead of that other trajectory we see all too often with musicians where that fire of creativity is also dangerous and can often kind of burn you up.
Sit there like a sad and very tired child. Hold your glass to right, though all that's left is ice. 1,000-yard stare, life's a battlefield behind stage lights. Ah, but Lou, you made us cry tonight. All those years you dreamed of making the show, fame it seems to only make the pain grow. When drinking with the boys, held your own. Ah, but Lou, how are we gonna get you home? When the lights went down, when the lights went down, you made us feel a little less alone. Ah, but Lou, how are we gonna get you home? Start so simple, the belief in something more. God or grief or just one poem opens up that door of a heart too big for its container. You got a glimpse of heaven and you ordered one more. When the lights went down, when the lights went down, made us feel a little less alone. Ah, but Lou, how are you gonna get your home? Oh, we know that story. Oh, we know this story. Destroyed by your own fire or burnished into gold. I need your song still. I need your song still. I need your song still. Please get home.
Meg Hutchinson in our studio on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, tuned from her album Beyond That. Let's take a short break and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about what Meg has been up to in the past couple of years since we've seen her. This is NHPR.
Navajo and Apache people are remembering their forced march 150 years ago from Arizona across New Mexico.
Just to walk the grounds. A lump in your throat. There's something bursting forward now that all the anguish of the ancestors.
I'm Renee Montaigne, The Long Walk, on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Tomorrow morning, here on New Hampshire Public Radio. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members in Concord Community Music School, announcing its March Mandolin Festival, March 7th through 9th, and registering students of all ages for lessons and ensembles in folk music, ccmusic.org. And Waste Management. In 2009, Waste Management recycled enough waste to fill the Empire State Building 12 and one-half times. Information on how this is done at thinkgreen.com. We're visiting with Meg Hutchinson here at the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, who's been very busy since we had a chance to visit with her last. The new CD is Beyond That. It's on the Red House record label. But Meg, you've also been doing some other work with dabbling in other mediums. Want to tell us a little bit about your latest project?
It's been really exciting to see these other things unfold around. As I do kind of the heart work, that inner work, these other things keep happening, like the poetry, and now a documentary film project that I'm really excited about. It's going to be called Pack Up Your Sorrows, and it's going to be a journey based on my experience where we explore wellness, mental health, various views on what mental illness is and how we recover and move through it. And, of course, how art saves our lives, music saves our lives every day. So I get to go around and interview some of my absolute heroes. And the film is directed and produced by Ezzy Films, who did For the Love of the Music, the Cambridge folk documentary about Club 47, which is now, of course, Club Passim, one of my favorite Boston venues in Harvard Square. So they have a deep, Ezzy Films has a deep connection to music, and that's how they first came to me. I was in that film very briefly. So now we're having this opportunity to go on this journey and really ask that question. You know, Pack Up Your Sorrows, of course, is this old folk song by Richard Farina. And I think Mimi and Joan's sister, Pauline, I think, was the co-write on that song. But the chorus is, if somehow you could pack up your sorrows and give them all to me, you would lose them. I know how to use them. Give them all to me. And when I first heard that song, I was about 8 years old. It was one of the first cassette tapes my dad gave me. And I had a new pink Walkman. And I remember it was Christmas, and I was just walking around the house at my grandmother's listening to that song. And I remember hearing about a death next door and listening to the song. And that woman had really struggled with depression. And I remember just thinking, I wish I could have taken her sorrows away. And that was a moment where I understood that music could be a deep solace, and that it was a kind of foreshadowing of the mental health journey that I would go on way, way later in my life. And I think also a kind of inkling of the spiritual longing and journey that I would find myself on years later in this recovery process. So that song keeps coming back over and over in my life, and now we get to use it in the film.
You've been a real champion of mental wellness and its relationship with the arts and how valuable the arts can be in that mental wellness piece. Do you feel like without music you might not have reached that stage of recovery that you have wanted?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the music knew me before I knew me. You know, I started having depression when I was 19, which then turned into this roller coaster ride of bipolar. But for many years I didn't really know what I was dealing with. I just thought it was, you know, artistic temperament. But the music was telling me things about what was going on in me that I wasn't able to admit to yet. And then the songs just kept seeing me through. And again, they've now turned to kind of almost prayer, I feel like, on this new record. Gratitude and a sense of when joy returns to you after you've gone through a decade like that, it's so much richer and deeper because it's not the naive joy of childhood. It's a joy gained back through hard work and hard self-reflection. But I don't take it for granted. It's much more powerful than that early joy.
I understood you to say that you use a lot of meditation. And that keeps you spiritually centered. Is there another way that you're treating your depression? Do you use medications, or you can't just do it on music alone, right?
Exactly. You know, I was raised by hippie parents and homeopathic and, you know, forget it, eat more kale and go on a hike if you're depressed, you know. So it was really tough for me. I was 28 years old when I hit rock bottom, and I had to accept that I needed help, and that it was such a physical experience I was having. It was such a chemical imbalance that I knew I couldn't just write my way out of it anymore. So I've been on medication for 7 years. And, of course, embraced all of the Western offerings of psychiatry and therapy. But the deep healing has come from that spiritual journey and from the meditation. And, you know, I think we can stabilize ourselves with this tremendous progress we've made in Western medicine. But the deep healing has to come through other channels. And I've had this middle way kind of balance of trying to take the wisdom and gifts from both traditions, and feel very blessed that I have all that opportunity and those resources to grow and to talk about it. Because as we know, there's still a ton of stigma around mental illness in our country.
You kind of addressed that darkness that depression can bring with a tune that you wrote called The Gatekeeper. And that has a place somehow in the new film. You want to talk a little bit about how that's going to come almost full circle, since you read about a man in San Francisco that was working right on the front lines with people who were depressed, and I'll let you tell the rest of the story.
So it's really this amazing story. I read about Kevin Briggs, the patrolman, in 2003 in The New Yorker, and wrote a song and dedicated it to him called Gatekeeper. And I thought of him as this angel up there. He had saved hundreds of people from jumping off the bridge in 2003. So by now, you can only imagine how many. And I sang his song and told his story all these years. And last Christmas, I got an email out of the blue. It said, "Hello, my name is Kevin Briggs. I'm a sergeant with the California Highway Patrol, and I just heard your song, Gatekeeper." And I was just chills, you know, my whole body. I couldn't believe that the song had found him and that he had actually written to me. And we've gone on to be just great friends. And we've written back and forth a ton and did our first interview on the Bob Edwards Show, but have not met in person. So the vision for this film, one of the highlights will be when I actually fly out to San Francisco and we film that moment where Kevin and I get to meet. And somehow that song, Gatekeeper, became a gatekeeper for me. And I've told him many times, "Kevin, I kind of feel like you were there on my metaphoric Golden Gate Bridge. You know, you were there. I was thinking of your words." Mm-hmm. And he saved people by asking just simple questions of them. You know, "How are you feeling? What are your plans for tomorrow?" One man who he saved, you know, they asked the guy, "Well, what on earth kept you from jumping?" He said, "Kevin just wouldn't give up on me." He talked to him for 7 hours. So that's the kind of, you know, deep compassion that this man has. And he's now retired. In November, he retired. And I said, "Kevin, what are you going to do? You know, you've earned yourself a big vacation. You've saved a lot of lives." And he said, you know, he's a very humble man. He said, "I'm going to have more time to work on the crisis hotline and start an organization called Pivotal Points to continue lifting the stigma and working with mental health."
You can watch a video of Kevin and one of his colleagues on Meg's website, and it's meghutchinson.com?
It is.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and Merrimack County Savings Bank, helping the community thrive for over 145 years with 7 full-service branches in Bow, Kentuckook, Concord, and Nashua, themerrimack.com. And Dartmouth Hitchcock, primary care doctors and nurses who put you at the center of health, 13 locations statewide. Information at d-hdocs.com. This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Our guest is Meg Hutchinson. Could you play another tune for us, Meg?
I would love to play Gatekeeper for you.
We would love to hear Gatekeeper.
When the day has grown too long, the hours standing still, you wonder if you could, if you will. With your toes upon the edge, with your eyes upon the sky, tell me just these things before you fly. How are you feeling? What are your plans for tomorrow? Will you let me make some? And after you can do as you will. If your hand should lose the rail, if your heel should lose the cord, well, everything seemed fixable that did not before. How the sun shines on the bay, the islands over there, can make it through today if you dare. How are you feeling? What are your plans for tomorrow? Will you let me make some? And after, you can do as you will. Maybe every day in ordinary ways we hold each other on, keep each other here. Oh, maybe every day in ordinary ways we hold each other on, keep each other here. How are you feeling? What are your plans for tomorrow? How are you feeling? What are your plans? How are you? What are your plans?
She's a singer, songwriter, pianist, guitar player, an advocate, and a poet who is recently published. Want to tell us a little bit about your interest in poetry and honor that you received?
So I really owe my mom for this. She's a wonderful poet. She's written a poem every morning for 10 years, maybe more than that now, which was a wonderful solution to empty nest syndrome. Her three daughters moved on, and she had waited, you know, she'd been critical of her work her whole life. And one morning she woke up and she just thought, well, what am I waiting for? And she wrote a poem over breakfast, and then she decided to do it for 10 years. And she challenged me to do the same for 1 month. And the deal was that she would send me an assignment every morning. And I wrote a poem every morning for the month of April and ended up turning it into a book and putting it out. And that's led to all these really cool opportunities. I just got published in a wonderful anthology honoring the life and work of William Stafford, and have a few poems coming out in the North Dakota Quarterly. So all these new doors are opening, but it's been, I think, really because my mom inspired me to do it.
What attracted you to William Stafford? Was it because he was born in Hutchinson, Kansas?
What's interesting, he actually is, I think, is the poet who inspired my mom to write every day, because his practice was to write every day. So he really helped her get over her writer's block, I think, just through his work. But he was a pacifist, a deep lover of nature, profoundly beautiful spiritual being, just one of these poets that, you know, there's no ego, there's no pretentiousness, it's just this purity of his vision, and his poetry speaks to me deeply. So to have the chance to be in this collection with some of my heroes is, and my mom is in it. So it's our first major publication, and
oh,
we're in there
great.
Together.
Do you think you could recite some poetry for us?
I would love to. This is a poem really about reclaiming the moment. I think it's very kindred with that last song. It's called Yesterday. I met a woman once from India. I drank tea with her in an airport Hilton lobby. She told me of her awakening when she was 9 years old. One night in bed beside her sisters, she realized she could remember yesterday. She burst into tears. The thought of yesterday had never even occurred to her. If there was one yesterday, there would be more. The weight of all the future yesterdays began to bear down on her slender frame. She wept in earnest and clutched at the wall all night long, heartbroken at this exile from the moment. Looking back down the pale street of my yesterdays, I also feel a terror sometimes. The days are piled high, a library ransacked by time, misplaced, out of order, covers gone, some have whole pages missing or torn, others someone cruel has written on. And in one corner, yesterdays that were so long, I couldn't even finish them. I used to think I'd have to get the whole place in shape before I'd be given back today. It's not like that. You could spend a lifetime rearranging them. Better just to give them all away.
Meg Hutchinson. Oh, that was lovely. Yesterday.
This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
It's a pleasure to have Meg here in our studio.
What's next for you? You're in the film, so that's going to keep you busy, correct?
It is. And I think that's going to be a really exciting next step for more of this advocacy work I'm doing, because it's going to present the bigger picture. I think we can go and screen it, especially with young students. And that's another facet of where my career is leading. I'm working really closely in the coming year with an organization called Active Minds. And they specifically work on college campuses building peer support networks to help students who are dealing with any kind of mental health issue, help them get to the actual help that they need. But what they've found is that students turn to each other first. So they have, I think, 450 chapters already around the country. And I'm going to be doing a lot more work with them. I feel deeply connected to that demographic because I didn't really understand what I was going through when I was in college. But I felt like I would always go to a poetry reading, I'd always go to hear music. So when I go in there undercover as an artist, I feel like I can draw the people that are more like me, who are trying to reckon with this, you know, darkness that they don't understand. But if they come to hear me as a musician, then I can sneak in the messages and share more of my story, and hopefully, you know, I can't go back to my 19-year-old self and tell her it's okay, what's the big deal, get some help, you don't have to be perfect, you know. When I was young, I think I was so afraid that if I admitted to having a problem that I would be somehow unlovable. And what's been so striking to me in these 7 years in which I've been completely open about living with bipolar is that I've felt more lovable than I ever did in my entire life, and closer to people around me. When you start to tell your story, everybody feels safe to tell theirs, and no life goes untouched by pain and loss of some kind. So I've had the most real conversations with people, people I knew really well who never told me stuff they'd been through, and that's been profoundly nourishing and meaningful.
What was the name of the organization you're connecting with again?
Active Minds.
And that's targeting college-age students?
Yeah, and they're just doing tremendous work, suicide prevention, awareness raising. They do a bunch of different kind of recognition holiday celebrate days, you know, stress out day. And they have an incredible traveling exhibit that is backpacks. 1,100 backpacks, and that reflects how many college students we lose to suicide every year. And they spread these backpacks out in very public places, important places in cities, and allow people to just walk through them. And the reality, when I first walked through those backpacks, I couldn't ignore it anymore. These are our young people with their whole lives ahead of them. It's the first time they're coming up against a mental health crisis, and they don't have the tools yet. but active minds is actually allowing them to get help in the beginning, which paves the way for a really different life if you get help right at the start.
Do you have a link on your website to that organization?
I do, and it's activeminds.org. But they're really doing tremendous work with young people.
We're visiting with Meg Hutchinson on The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio. Could you play another tune for us?
I'm really tempted to play a cover of a Bob Dylan tune, if that's okay with you.
Fine.
This is on a Red House
the
compilation, Not to Bob.
Okay.
And I just feel kind of struck by the spirit of this song today. It's called Born in Time. In the lonely night, in the stardust of a pale blue light, I think of you in black and white, when we were made of dreams. I walk alone through the shaking streets, listening to my heartbeat, in the record-breaking heat. We were born in time, just when I knew you were gone, you came back, just when I knew it was for certain, you were high, you were low, you were so easy to know, oh babe. Now it's time to raise the curtain. I'm hurting. On the rising curve, the ways of nature will test every nerve. I took you close and got what I deserved when we were born in time. Just when I knew who to thank, you went blank. Just when the whole fires were smoking, you were snow. Stripes and you were plain, oh babe. True, our words have not been spoken or broken. In the hills of mystery, in the foggy web of destiny, I think of you from deep inside of me. We were born in time.
Meg Hutchinson. With a Bob Dylan tune that you could hear on the Nod to Bob, is that edition one or two?
Two. Yeah, I wasn't on the label yet when he turned 60, but when he turned 70, I got to be on there.
Those are great collections. And what an honor to be on a Bob Dylan tribute album.
Totally, with, you know, the heavyweights on Red House.
That's great.
Liza Gilkison, Lucy, John, you know,
that's
good
amazing.
Company.
Your travels are going to be taking you to New York to do some shows and then Massachusetts in April back in Northampton.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure we get that on our calendar when you're going to be in the Northampton area. Doing a performance for Signature Sounds, is that right?
Yeah. The Parlor Room is a great new venue in Northampton.
And that's created by the Signature Sound folks?
Yeah, it's right there in their building. And,
wow.
And a lovely listening room.
I haven't been over there yet. I have to check it out.
Yeah, it's a great place.
And then you're heading out west and doing a show in May in Denver, and that's to support your vision for helping to prevent suicide.
Yeah, they're doing a big conference there, and I get to do a combination of all of my favorite things. I get to do a workshop on wellness and healing from the inside, where we'll do a combination of meditation, breathing exercises, creative writing, all the things I love together. And then we'll do a big fundraiser for the organization and then a concert.
So you're busy enough?
I am. But I'm still remembering to breathe. I'm remembering not to overschedule, which is the difference.
That's great.
I know that when I'm giving myself enough time to care for myself, the rest becomes way easier.
We could all take some lessons from Meg Hutchinson and the way that she's taking care of herself. The new album is called Beyond That. Visit MegHutchinson.com for information about Active Minds or about if you want to find out where you can see Meg next or if you want to pick up a copy of her latest album, Beyond That. More information about her publications and her poetry, and you can read her tunes online. And I would say make sure that you keep track of Meg Hutchinson because she's a staple in our folk community. And we really appreciate you coming by here at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Thank you so much.
Don't be a stranger.
I won't. I'm going to play a song that I actually close out the record with. Feels like one of the most prayerful of the new collection. And I felt like the quieter I got in those years walking by the lake, the more beautiful everything became around me. I started to really see the water, see the trees, feel the sky, watch the light change. And then I realized it had always been that beautiful and that I had just been so busy with my inner noise and all my conflict that I hadn't been paying attention. So this song is instructing me to continue that process of quieting. So fast, the clouds so still, cracked like silver mud. Are the tiles of that old church ceiling slept under when I was young? Come to thinking that the leaves are stirring in a sermon. Swans out on the mystic, other moons asleep between their wings, and everything more beautiful, everything more beautiful, everything more beautiful, the quieter I become. Many births the world gives us, water, egg, womb, and the miraculous. Well, once were lost years seem a blessing to me now. Deepened by the blade of sorrow, prepared my body for this greater love. And everything more beautiful, everything more beautiful, everything more beautiful, the quieter I become. This morning through the prism, all these colors on the ground, I climbed into that light and I just lay down everything, everything, everything. Many
many teachers desire among them spark to light the better fire and everything more beautiful, everything more beautiful, everything more beautiful, the quieter I become.
Meg Hutchinson from her new album, Beyond That, and Everything More Beautiful. Thank you for coming by.
Thank you so much. It's a real pleasure.
This is NHPR. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and New Hampshire's community colleges, committed to increasing the number of science, technology, engineering, and math graduates in New Hampshire, ccsnh.edu. And the Clean Bedroom Organic Mattress and Bedding Showroom in Kittery, Maine. Everything made from organic and sustainable materials. Also on the web at thecleanbedroom.com. This is NHPR.